Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live. Welcome to the program. The phone lines are open if you want to join us. And you can bring up absolutely anything you want to discuss here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Aria.
Aria, you are also known beyond just being a host here on Free Talk Live as the High Priestess of the Reformed Satanic Church.
This is true.
That you founded here in Keene, New Hampshire. Despite the fact that the government would like you to believe that it is a quote-unquote purported church, it is actually, in point of fact, a real church.
To my knowledge, they've never made that accusation against the Reformed Satanic Church.
Oh, really?
I don't think that they have.
I think they did.
I know they certainly have alluded to it at a few occasions. Like, they've listed it alongside things like Church of the Invisible Hand or whatever, but... Yeah. Part of the conspiracy charge that I understood was that they were trying to paint the connection that the Reformed Satanic Church was, you know, similar in nature to those, but it wasn't going to stick from what I could. It was all very confusing and very hazy to me at this time because I've got a lot going on in regard to all this case. I don't remember every little detail. However, I don't recall they were actually trying to. They seemed to recognize that there was some difference between the Reformed Satanic Church and some other churches, which is, I mean, obviously, whatever difference there may or may not be is just in theology. However, at the Satanist aspect of it, there's a lot borrowed from that. I think the government has tangled with Satanism several times, and they've lost every single time. So
they have.
I don't think they were in any hurry to kick off that battle again. And obviously, the Church of Satan, not very good friends with me. I can't stand them. They can't stand me. However, that's
have
not
you actually had an interaction with them? Like, you say they can't stand you?
Not in an official capacity, but some of its members, I know them, what they stand for, their ideology, and it's fundamentally opposed to everything that I stand for and everything that Satanism stands for.
Hence the Reformed Satanic Church. I think they would have, had you gone to the Crypto 6 trial, I think they would have tried to insult your church as well. I don't remember specifically what they were doing up there with regard to all of the churches, but that was sort of their whole thing. Anyway, I bring it up because it's in the news. Satanism is making headlines again here, and this is for the Global Order of Satan UK. So we've heard of the Satanic Temple, and we've heard of the Church of Satan. The Church of Satan goes back some decades. Anton LaVey, I believe, was co-founder or founder of that, and that's the one that used to get the headlines. These days, you don't really see much about the Church of Satan anymore. You see a lot about the Satanic Temple, and they've been getting a lot of headlines, and for good reason, because they've been fighting, I would say, mostly a good fight with regards
to... Yeah, I love the Satanic Temple.
Yeah, with regards to equal access for various different religions to governmental bodies and such. So if there's like a Christian club at a school, then the Satanists from the Satanic Temple will come in there and say, oh, you got a Christian club here? All right, we're going to start a Satan club.
Yeah.
Oh, you're saying no to that? Well, now we're going to sue you. Or they'll send somebody into... like a city council meeting where they'll have a prayer that's being led by some Christian preacher, and they'll say, well, we need to get our prayer week. What week can we schedule our satanic prayer? And then, you know, stir up controversy there.
And Christians and just religious people in general, they don't understand. They're like, oh, they're just trying to start a fight. Yes. Yes, they are trying to start a fight because there shouldn't be a fight over this in the first place. If you're going to have your Christian prayer, yes, I'm just starting a fight by saying, hey, now we need to have my satanic prayer. However, I'm still in the right.
Yes, that's right. And it's you know, if it's a supposedly separation of church and state, then if you're going to have a state connected to a religion, then it has to connect to any religion. And of course, the Satanic Temple has probably really got on the map for when they had different displays in certain states. I think Oklahoma was one of them, if I recall correctly.
Was this the nativity scenes?
Florida, I believe, had the nativity scene. Oklahoma, I think, was just, they just had like a big cross at one of their state buildings or something like that.
Or the Ten Commandments, probably, some sort of nonsense like that.
So wherever there was some sort of display with regard to another religion or any religion, they would come in there and say, well, we would like our Baphomet statue to be placed here. And then they spent, I don't know, thousands of dollars having a really fancy-looking Baphomet statue. That's the goat-headed man, basically, if you're not sure who Baphomet is.
I couldn't tell you more besides that. All of these figures have some sort of mythology or history attached to them, and obviously we don't believe any of this stuff is actually true. However, it's interesting, right? Like, I named my music studio the Omdusiast Music Studio after the quote-unquote demon of music. There isn't a demon of music, but it sort of loosely translates to that. But that doesn't mean that any Satanist out there is running around praying to Omdusiast or believing that this entity exists.
Well, right, and there's a lot of mythology surrounding Satanism, but most of it isn't true. I mean, in the 1980s or whatever, there was a lot of fear that was being spread about Satanists in the woods doing child sacrifices or sacrificing animals or whatever. And I don't think there was ever any kind of justification for that.
There was no justification for it. And despite the fact that these rumors still persist today, when people are like, oh, we're secretly run by a group of child-eating Satanists or whatever people believe, there has never been a single shred of evidence supporting any of these accusations or any links these people might have to Satanism, ever.
Yeah, and I'm sure, as we'll get into here, Satanism is, as I understand it, and I'm not a member of the Satanic Church, but being close to you and learning about it through your explanations and such on the air here, it seems to be a very humanistic viewpoint, focusing on individualism, or at least that's your view of how it should be, right?
And I mean, that's what the Church of Satan's view is as well. Mm-hmm. The difference is that, like Christians, they say one thing and then they do something completely different. So they wouldn't dispute with me.
I'm shocked. A religion with hypocrites in it?
I know, right? Huh. But they wouldn't argue with me when we talk about the individual sovereignty and one's body, one ultimately controlling one's body and being a good person, being moral, all of these things. They wouldn't dispute any of this. They would agree entirely, and then they would go and do the exact opposite.
Like by advocating for government programs or something.
Universally
like that.
Mm-hmm. Advocating for government. And like, no part of anything Anton LaVey ever wrote suggested that you could achieve a good end with evil means.
But yet.
In fact, that runs counter to almost all of Satanism. Evil begets evil.
And it kind of reminds me of our co-host who unfortunately could not join us tonight. Mark Edge is on the road or something like that. But he is a Quaker, and he goes to Quaker meeting. And when he's up here in New Hampshire, I don't know if they have it down in Honduras where he is, but I mean, you can have a Quaker meeting anywhere you want, right? Like you don't need to have a group. But he does go to the Quaker meetings up here, and it's mostly full of liberals. Who the Quakers are purportedly anti-slavery. They were the first people who were against slavery, at least openly against slavery. Yeah, they have a really excellent history in that way, and they are they're purportedly pro-peace. Right? So
nice.
How can you be anti-slavery and pro-peace and yet support government anything? Right? Yet they do, of course. So
unfortunately,
again, they don't see the coercion. They don't see the evil that is involved in supporting the state. Anyway, let's get into the news here, because it is in the news. The so-called Global Order of Satan.
An order that I've never heard of prior to tonight, so I cannot tell you what they believe or how they're different from anything that I say.
We'll learn a little bit about it. It is UK-based, so I don't know how, maybe they have some chapters in the United States, but like you, this is the first I've heard of them as well.
You said Global Order of Satan?
That is what they're calling themselves.
Goos?
Yeah, I guess you're right. Global Order of Satan, UK, Gusu. Quote, with our rituals, there's never any murder, there's never any sacrifice, there's never any blood rites to Satan. We don't worship the devil, we don't cast magic spells. Unquote. This is from, by the way, a story from The Telegraph over in the UK. In fact, as the Global Order of Satan UK, as well as other leaders and members of satanic groups around the world insist, it would be difficult to spot a Satanist walking down the street. Now, you don't have your pentagram on tonight. But there are
I
some.
I alternate necklaces randomly based on which one I happen to see on a given day. But yeah, I do have. Well, I still have the giant pentagram tattooed on my back.
On your back, okay.
That's not visible in the winter because it's cold here, and I'm generally wearing a jacket. The only thing that I would dispute there, and not knowing anything about the Global Order of Satan. There's probably some of them that do believe in black magic and witchcraft and casting spells and stuff like that.
Okay.
There's a lot of overlap between Satanism and occultism and Wicca.
What percentage would you say of a given satanic group would be into casting a spell?
I don't know, probably fairly low, 2 to 3%. Okay. Enough to exist and to need to be recognized and pointed out, but not like a driving force or a main force. Probably it's people who go a little bit further down the road of astrology.
I see.
They don't necessarily believe they can wave a magic wand and, Wingardium Leviosa somebody into the sky. That's a Harry Potter reference.
Okay, thanks. I didn't know.
Yeah, that was what they said to make things float.
Gotcha.
So they don't necessarily believe that, but they do believe that you can chant some series of magical words and make some gestures and combine it with some reagents or salt or whatever and somehow manifest that in the world. And I don't necessarily disagree with it because any thought that you put out there in the universe has the potential to be ultimately made manifest just by your desire and you're putting that out there. But I don't think, lighting the candle and chanting a sentence in Latin five times is necessarily going to achieve anything.
Yeah, I question whether or not a spell can affect another human being in any sort of positive or negative manner, and I'm a skeptic when it comes to that. But while the macabre rituals, occult rituals, virgin sacrifices, chalices of blood, and belief in the actual devil are a thing of the past, Satanism is luring increasing numbers of young people disillusioned with so-called outdated and dogmatic traditional religions to join its fold by offering an alternative to stuffy traditional faiths. They're putting a bunch of those words in quotes.
This is why Anton LaVey was so big on the religious imagery and all of these symbols and the ritualistic nature of it. But things that the Reformed Satanic Church doesn't really care for, that it appeals to people in an almost animalistic way where it just replaces one theology, the Christian and all of their symbols and their songs and their hymns and their chants and stuff, with a completely different set that instead alludes to Satan. I'm not a fan of it because I think it's better to get to not have these traditions and these.
He does that even though they purportedly don't actually believe in Satan, the entity?
Right. The ritual aspects of it, of having the meeting and, everyone wearing black cloaks.
Black mass.
That sort of thing. It was important to Anton LaVey.
I see. As upside down crosses.
Yes.
Okay.
And, I like the symbols too, but not necessarily for that reason. The ritualistic aspects of it, I don't care anything for.
The Sunday Telegraph spoke to leaders and members of satanic groups around the world who claimed that the opportunity Satanism offers to people to engage in activism and campaign on issues such as gender and sexuality is part of the appeal for the younger members, particularly those who are increasingly less likely to declare themselves as Christian. Chaplain Leopold, a 32-year-old London-based undertaker, co-runs the Global Order of Satan UK, which he says has seen a 200% increase in membership over the last 5 years.
Nice. Good for them.
He says, I'd love to be able to claim that we could pat ourselves on the back and say, yes, we've done our infernal work here, and we're successfully declining the number of Christians, but I think it's a far more complex issue than that, he says. He thinks that two factors were responsible, the decreasing popularity of the traditional dogmatic religions and, quote, a movement towards self-identification and self-realization. He said further, this is particularly...
But that is a decline of Christianity. I mean, part of the whole thing about Christianity and what it was trying to do was make everyone equal before God. Not individuals, but like more homogenized. You're just a blob of souls before God, largely indistinguishable. And Satanism is very much about individualism and not being that. So I don't know how they could say that one expressing oneself's true identity and exploring oneself's true identity isn't also a decline in Christianity. Because from what I can tell, the two things are inextricably related.
He says it's particularly amongst younger people who don't want to be identified as part of a prescriptive dogmatic religion and rather want to identify as their own self-beliefs and self-realization, which he says is what Satanism offers. So we often say that we're sort of the religion for those who don't like the oppression of previous religions. Well, I mean, there are a lot of options that are like
absolutely.
That. I mean, there's a lot of sort of new age things that are out there. I'm a panentheist, for instance. There are a lot of people who are turning away from organized religion in general, and many of them are not in the need of a church to join, per se. They just go off in their own direction. They do their own looking within and their own research and finding out what's out there and then selecting for themselves, you know, a belief system that fits themselves. That's essentially what I have done. But some people do want to have a group they can join, right? So
the community thing is important,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I mean,
we have that here.
We have that here in New Hampshire among the libertarian community, but that's sort of unique in that regard. Most of the communities that you see, like the New Hampshire libertarians, are actually like religious ones. The closest thing, analogy I can think of to the New Hampshire libertarians is like the church that I grew up in and how everyone knew each other and everyone would help each other. They had these weekly gatherings mm-hmm. where they just hung out and talked and had a good time and everyone got along. And that's, if they don't have that among libertarians in New Hampshire, because they're not libertarians in New Hampshire, they're Satanists in the United Kingdom, and they're not getting that from any other church, then they just don't have that sense of community.
Yeah, you're right. That is definitely important for people. And to some extent, the freedom migration here to New Hampshire, I mean, I'm not going to say it's a religion, but it definitely is a moral group, right? Like, it's a group of people who have a very stern, you know, principle that they adhere to, and that is the non-aggression principle, the idea that it is not okay to use aggressive force to achieve your goals in life, whether they be political or, you know, some other kind of goal, social, whatever. That's the one thing that binds those people together and creates that kind of instant community. So maybe that's one reason why a lot of them don't find themselves going off looking for a church, because they've got that built-in community here already as soon as they show up, possibly.
That would be my guess.
Yeah. Leopold says here that many young people are turning away from what are now incredibly outdated, very obviously stuffy views that are not that are completely not in keeping with modern times.
No, Christianity is so far behind the cultural zeitgeist at this point, then it's not even worth laughing about.
Yep, and then they get into some of the numbers here. In fact, I had a whole other story about this, but it looks like they're going to cover similar ground about how U.S. churches, for instance, are on the decline. That's the other story that I have from The Guardian. But his comments come as Christianity battles to appeal to younger generations and remains divided on the issue of gay marriage, with bishops preparing for a historic vote on the matter next month.
See, Christians are still arguing about gay marriage. Well,
right.
They're still stuck in the mid-90s, man. The rest of the world has moved on to larger issues, and homosexual marriage was decided 30 years ago, or close to 30 years ago.
Well, and there have been some churches that have been more open-minded this issue. For instance, the Unitarians, of course, have been for a long time welcoming towards gays. Now, they're not per se a Christian church. They're an interfaith church. But there's also, here in town, there's the, what do they call themselves? The UCC, and the U doesn't stand for Unitarian. It's something else. I'm not recalling one.
Well, there's also smaller churches, like the Next Level Church. They interviewed me when I ran for sheriff. They probably were among the first to be accepting of LGBTQ people.
Okay.
I don't know that they were among the first, but they're certainly accepting of them now.
Yeah. Didn't feel like they were rude to you or something?
No,
like
not
that?
At all.
Okay.
And the Catholic Church here in Kane, at least one of them, has an LGBTQ Pride rainbow flag outside mm-hmm. of their building. So not all churches, certainly, and not all denominations of Christianity, but there are a ton of denominations of Christianity, many of which disagree with each other. Well, all of which disagree with each other. That's why there are so many different
right.
denominations. And you can't really say, well, this is what Christianity believes or this is what Christianity doesn't believe. Beyond
all different.
Yeah, beyond going directly to the Bible. And good luck pinning down what the Bible actually has to say about anything, because someone's just going to come along and say, oh, no, but if you look at the actual ancient Hebrew,
yeah, mistranslated,
it actually says this, and you can't prove that or disprove it.
Unless you can read the Hebrew, then you don't really know.
Right. But in which case, I'm just taking their word for it, and I don't know that I can do that either.
Yeah, and you do have to wonder if the declining number of people that is going to church in the United States, and I'm pretty sure elsewhere in the world, is one of the reasons why they're opening up, right? Like, oh, crap, we're losing members, so maybe we should vote on allowing the gays to come in, right? So, like, okay, we're okay with you guys now. Come on in. We need your 10% of your tithe.
It's almost like the Republicans, man. It's almost like they're similar in ideology, the Christians, or the stodgy Christians, because I don't want to wash all Christians like this, because I know some great Christians who are pro-LGBT and so on. But when I think of a Christian, I don't think about people like Tom Knapp, who writes at the Garrison Center, or, you know, these upstanding Christians who are friendly to gay people and trans people. I think of, like, the church I grew up in, the Fire and Brimstone Southern Baptists, who are
in Mississippi.
Yes, who absolutely just voted for Donald Trump in 2020, and they're going to vote for him again in 2024, assuming they don't vote for someone else because they got the Republican ticket. But the possibility of inviting in LGBTQ people or people who aren't white or whatever, and they won't say these things so clearly, but you look around and there's no LGBTQ people and there's only white people. They don't have to say we don't like gay black people in order to get that message across. There's none in sight.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder what it would be like if you showed up as the Aria of today at this church that you grew up in, and what would happen. Like, what would the reaction of people be?
Oh, man. I was down there for my father's funeral, too, back in, like, May.
Mm-hmm.
I would not object to going down there to find out.
As long as they don't nail you to the cross, you'll probably be okay.
Yeah, this was at a funeral, so they were far more gracious than they were. I mean, they were extraordinarily gracious. But, again, it was at my father's funeral, so they weren't going to start a fight with me then, or an argument with me, whatever.
I mean, they're not going to start a fight with you, likely,
not
if you
physically,
show up to church.
But I think they would take issue with my presence.
They might try to make it uncomfortable. Who knows?
I think they would ask me to leave. I really do. Because otherwise I'm corrupting their children. You know, I'm exposing their children to the existence of trans people and... Yeah, then just by looking at me, a mere glance at me can undo the 15 years of strong Christian upbringing.
Because it's that good of a philosophy. MSN.com and this story here at the Telegraph continues. So looking at the statistics, right, how many people are Christian versus Satanist, according to the Office for National Statistics, now this is just the UK they're looking at, published in November, the number of people in England and Wales identifying as Satanists saw a 167% increase between 2011 and 2021.
Now, I'm confused. It mentioned a 200% increase earlier, so that means it doubled or tripled? Because 200% of 100...
Right, 100% would be a doubling.
Right, but 200%, it would generally be a tripling, but I doubt that's what they meant.
Well, the numbers are actually 1,893 up to 5,054.
Oh, wow, they meant tripling. Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah. Not quite tripling.
But pretty close,
2.5 or whatever. At the same time, the number of Christians dropped so low, they now account for less than half of England and Wales' population for the first time in census history.
Oh, so they're finally not the majority.
Well, they probably are still the largest religion, but they're no longer half of the population.
They're a plurality now.
Yeah, I would guess that's accurate. There's more coming up here. You can join us, and you can share your thoughts on the shifting tides of religions. It's Free Talk Live.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA News update. All the victims from Saturday's deadly shooting in Monterey Park, California have been identified, but police are still searching for a motive. They're also coming under fire for the amount of time that went by before they notified the public that a gunman was still on the loose. A tornado roared through parts of the Houston area this afternoon. This man telling KPRC TV that he rode out the twister in his home.
I just heard a big boom. The back windows blew out of the house, and we just started seeing stuff flying past the house.
Damage is being reported in parts of southeast Houston, as well as in nearby Deer Park and Pasadena, Texas. So far, no injuries have been reported. Former President Trump defending his former Vice President Mike Pence after it was revealed that classified documents were found at Pence's Indiana home. In a post on Truth Social, Trump said Pence is an innocent man who has never done anything knowingly dishonest in his life. John Schaefer, USA News.
I spend a lot of time in the garage. But even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live. You can join the show and you can bring up whatever you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. For tonight, it is Ian.
And Aria.
We are talking about the rise of Satanism, at least among younger people, according to the Telegraph story that we're sharing. They're looking at, and they spoke to different satanic groups, including one we'd never heard of before, the Global Order of Satan, UK. And it is focusing on like some of the numbers and such coming from the UK, although I do have a story about Christianity on the decline in the United States as well.
Yeah, and as I said during the break, I can't even pretend to be sad about this. I mean, I like Christianity from the mythological perspective and the stories of Jesus. I like it in the same way that I like Harry Potter.
Okay.
And I find that the stories have some value for that reason alone. Mm-hmm. However, there is a lot of blood on Christians' hands.
Sure.
And you can't separate Christianity, the ideology, from that violent, bloody, abusive, oppressive history.
I mean, you can separate your own church and say, we're not okay with that, right? Like, hey, we didn't do that. That wasn't what the founder taught, right?
Right.
You can do the same thing with Islam as well. I mean, there's peace-loving Muslims out there, and there's also bloodthirsty ones.
Well, right? It wasn't what the founder... Well, it depends on what you mean by founder.
Jesus is what I meant.
But Jesus didn't actually start a religion. Paul did.
That's true.
And what Paul started was a bloody, violent, tyrannical thing.
Yeah, all right.
But Paul did stray tremendously from the teachings of Christ, as far as I can tell, and I think a lot of modern Christians would agree with that assessment. I don't know. But to me, I have a hard time separating Christianity from its violent past, and I think that they need to come to terms with that past.
I don't know if that's the reason why people are dropping away from Christianity, or it's more of what it's doing today, the fact that it hasn't caught up to the present, as we were talking about earlier. It's not welcoming of all types of people, etc. But the numbers are definitely going down, and we can talk about that coming up. But first, let's go to Major Payne. You're on Free Talk Live, calling from Michigan. Go ahead. Oh, stand by, Major. Now we have you. Go ahead. We can hear you now.
You guys are confusing Catholicism and Christianity.
I don't know if we
mean Protestantism.
Well, I mean, think about it. You say we got blood on our hands. Any institution of people this large trying to hold on to just their own backyard is going to have a lot of blood on their hands. I mean, this has been going on for centuries.
There's been very little.
Ain't theirs.
Okay.
And that goes for the Muslims and everybody else.
I understand, Major, but let me remind you that there's been very little of Christianity's history where they were trying to hold on to their land. The vast majority of Christianity's history has been taking land from others violently.
Well, and the same thing is held true with the Muslim Empire. They have they're nothing but conversion.
Yeah, I'm also not.
That's their main goal. And,
we'd probably be more critical of the Muslims if we grew up with those people, but both Arya and I grew up Christian, so that's what we're familiar with.
I mean, I don't know either because I didn't grow up in that backyard. But you guys mentioned the separation of church and state earlier.
Yeah.
And what you got to take in a concept on that is our founding fathers were run out of England because of religious persecution. You know, the Huguenots and whatnot. And
I'm not convinced that's true.
That whole thing, there's never been a law written into the government about the separation of church and state. The only time that was ever mentioned was in a letter from Jefferson to, I think, Washington, but it might have been Adams. He did a lot of correspondence with Adams, too.
Well, there is a principle involved, right, Major? The principle of why a lot of the people came here from the UK was to get away from the state religion. Isn't that true?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's what they said. Like I said, I'm not convinced it's true.
Well, some of them started their own state religion when they got here, but they definitely wanted to get away from that version of whatever,
right,
you know, the state wanted to force down people's throats.
And that was the separation between church and state. State cannot control the church. And it's been
that lasted about 4 days. In North America, from what I can tell. Maybe a little longer than 4 days, but I mean, the Salem witch trials, they basically landed in North America and almost immediately got started on the Salem witch trials.
The Salem witch trials were caused because they were eating rotten rye at the end of the winter and there was LSD in it.
I've heard that hypothesis.
The whole damn town was tripping.
Yeah, I've heard that hypothesis, but I also...
Somebody to bloodlust. I can't explain it all.
Anytime I've been on LSD, I've never wanted to kill anyone. I mean, normally it's like everybody, you know, all is one and we're all in this together, right? Like everything's connected. I just wouldn't. It's hard to believe that that would be a thing for people, but I mean, maybe for psychopaths, that's what would happen to them.
Well, they didn't realize they was tripping. They didn't have a trip guide. And these were all God-fearing people, and they're like, oh, my God, the devil's amongst us. Nobody's got a clue what's going on.
Yeah, good point. Don't give a crazy person LSD.
No, but it's important to point out that what Major is talking about, there is a hypothesis that there was some LSD was leaking into the water for some reason. I don't remember all of the specifics.
No,
but
it was rotten rye. It was the end of the winter. And
but you're saying it like it's a fact, and it's not. It's a hypothesis that one historian conceived and wrote about. But it's not universally accepted by any means.
Nothing is universally accepted by any means, is it?
That's probably
no.
True. Thank you, Major, for the call tonight. I appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. So we were talking about the number of Satanists is up, according to 283-6160. So we were talking about the number of Satanists is up, according to the equivalent of their census over there in the UK, up 167% between the years 2011 and 2021, up from 1,893 to 5,054. And then they bring up the fact that the number of Christians has now dropped so low, they now account for less than half of England and Wales' population for the first time in census history. So I got a little more detail on that.
Are they lumping Catholics and Protestants together?
It appears they are.
Okay.
And I'm just judging based here by some bar graphs that I pulled up here from also from the Telegraph on a story from November about the census data that had come in. They compare 2001, 2011, and 2021. They look at the numbers as far as what were people's religious beliefs at that time. And back in 2001, Christianity, of course, they're not labeling it, so that doesn't help very much. Oh, there it is. Okay, so yeah, there's a label. So it looks like Christianity was roughly a little less than 75% of the population in the UK in 2001. And then in...
See, that's why they shouldn't lump Catholicism and Protestantism in the same group. And you generally don't see that in surveys and stuff in the United States.
Hmm.
But it weights the reason, because there's huge differences between... It's almost like saying Protestant or Christians and Muslims are the same, to say that Catholics and Protestants are the same, because there's such a huge disconnect between what the two sides are saying that... I can't consider them the same religion.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know enough about the differences between Catholicism and Christianity. I couldn't tell you what they are.
Well, the main point is that Catholicism is all about you reaching God through the church apparatus, through the bishop and the priest and the pope all the way up, right?
Okay.
Whereas Protestantism, it's more about establishing a direct connection to God where there is no interceding person.
Okay, but do the Catholics believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes.
That's a key... Okay. That's like a key factor as to why they would be considered Christian, in my mind. Now,
sure.
You are delineating a key difference between them, but if we start going into the differences between them, then we should whittle all the Christian branches down as well, because they all have, you know, major differences in how they baptize you or whatever other things that they believe. So I get why they could lump it together. Whereas the Muslims, for instance, do not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. They believe he was a prophet,
right?
One of a myriad of prophets that has come forth. So that's the another major thing that separates them and Christianity is they believe in a monotheistic God instead of the triune God that the Christians believe in, right?
But I would love a Christian to call in and try to explain this to me, but do Christians really believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Because as I understand...
They say they do.
Well, they say that, but they also say that he is God, right? And it comes into, like, what the hell is the Trinity really supposed to mean? The Holy Trinity of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What the hell is this, right? Do you truly believe that Jesus is God's Son if he's also God? I mean, please explain this to me.
Okay, I would love for someone to explain that. The number here is 603-283-6160. We'll get you right on the air here. We don't really do phone screening much anymore. It's because our long segments, we don't have staff. We will just literally take your call and put you on the air. So if you got an answer for Aria, 603-283-6160. So it went from, like, just under 75% in 2001, 10 years later, to 2011, it is 59.3% of the UK population was quote-unquote Christian. And then in 2021, that number had dropped to 46.2%. So a very low number.
Almost 30% inside of a single generation, it sounds like, or from one generation to the next.
Yeah, it's down significantly. So then you...
That's good news.
What they actually show here also is that, surprisingly... the numbers of other religions are actually growing. So the number of Muslims in the UK is up. I mean, it's not jumping up or anything like that, but it is up. The number of...
People still have to have some sort of religious excuse to justify their bigotry, right? And if they don't want to associate with Christianity because it's on the decline, well, they just pick another religion that historically has a lot of bigotry in it.
Another one here, Hindu is up slightly.
That's mostly positive, I would suggest.
Buddhists are up slightly as well.
Tremendously positive.
But the biggest group that is growing the most is those who identify with, quote-unquote, no religion. And that number has... It looks like it's been absorbing most of the Christians. They're not going from Christianity to another religion, per se, or at least another organized religion. Because there is another group here that says religion not stated, and curiously, that number's actually been going down as well over time. Again, we're just looking at the UK numbers here.
And I mean, you mentioned a person can be spiritual without necessarily being religious. So these people who are turning away from Christianity, they're not necessarily going, okay, well, there is no God then, because that's what Christians tend to believe. If you don't believe in the Christian God, then you must not believe in any God. But no, they believe in some sort of God. It just doesn't fall within the scope of the Christian God.
Yeah, well, I mean, you bring up an interesting kind of debate. It's like, can you be spiritual without being religious? And I don't know if you can. I kind of feel like they're one and the same. I understand why people don't like the word religion, because it does concoct these ideas of these quote-unquote stuffy, old, organized systems that have been oppressive for so long. So I understand why someone would want to jettison that. But ultimately, all a religion is just a certain set of beliefs that one has and purportedly applies as well in one's life in regards to the nature of the universe and God.
I think I would agree with that. You can't be spiritual without being religious, I think. I don't see any reason I would argue with it, except, as you point out, the connotations of the word religious, it just sort of makes my skin crawl.
Yeah, I don't think it requires a dogma. I don't think it requires, you know, some sort of rote memorization or Ten Commandments or anything like that. It can just simply be your own personal belief system. But if you want to comment, you can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. So back to the story about the Satanists.
I think religion also has a definition that... You have to actually go out there and, like, proselytize, I think, in order for it to count.
Okay. No, definitely not. I can pull it up here in a little bit. But the census revealed an uptick in other less traditional religions. The number of pagans is up from 56,000 and change to 73,000, as well as the rise in the number of animists who believe that all natural things have a soul. And those the animists increased from 500-something to over 800.
That's a curious ideology. All natural things have a soul. I mean, I'm assuming this means, like, trees and grass and stuff.
And animals. There's some people who believe that only humans have souls.
Right. Well, that's just ego. I mean, that's just humans looking around the universe and going, well, we look identical to everything else, and we act identically to everything else, and we're scientifically proven to be 99% linked to everything else, but... We're special,
yeah. It's like, if you believe in the idea of a soul, and personally, I like the idea of a soul, and you can somehow look at your dog and think it doesn't have a soul, is like beyond me. Like,
that is sad.
They clearly have their own agency. They clearly are unique little creatures. They're all different, right? Like, in their own unique ways.
I'm thinking about my special little golden retriever, man. She's super special. But you raise an interesting question. You know, what does one mean by soul? Because I know that I will continue existing until the end of time, until, you know, until the universe dies in either a freeze or an explosion. The atoms that make me up will continue to exist, but the singular entity that is me will not continue to exist. And what me is there really? Is it just a combination of these atoms reacting in a certain way? Or is there some other thing that we can't easily measure or quantify?
Right. Consciousness cannot, at this point in time, be measured by science. They don't even have an explanation for, as I understand it, they have no explanation for what consciousness is.
No, and these are the same people. The people who say this want to then turn around and say, oh, no, look, Lambda definitely has no consciousness. Right. We don't know what consciousness is, but
we know you don't
have
it.
Definitely not that.
Right. Let's go to the phone calls here. You're on the air, caller. What's your name? You're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, it's Tom. Hey, where do I begin? I think I wanted to answer the question about the triune God first, maybe. But before I get into that, I would say this, and I've combated this. If you recall, you know, I'm a Christian anarchist, right? So I get it coming from both sides. From the Christians, I'm some libtard, and then from my fellow anarchists, I'm some wacky Christian guy, but anywho, when I hear those criticisms that, you know, Christianity has blood on its hands, I have to remind you that when that occurs, the majority of the time you have an infusion of the state with religion, and that's where the blood comes from. The blood, really, the machine of corpses is the state. Those bring in the military powers for the church to utilize. That doesn't absolve them of that immorality of enforcing violence or using violence to get their means to an end. But if you take the state away, the religious institution is powerless. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, but it's fundamentally wrong. The reason that this I'm explaining. The reason this union between church and state came about in the first place is because the church was becoming more and more powerful. The church, you could love your king and all of that great stuff and be loyal to the king, but the church commanded a person's soul. They commanded that this special kind of loyalty that no king or prince could intervene in. So these two entities, they were competing with one another, and ultimately the church. Well, I guess if you wanted me to answer your question, I could have, but go ahead.
Well, I get your point, but the thing is fundamentally, as far as Christianity, I can't speak for any other religion, but Christianity, that was operating in opposition to Christ's teaching. The one thing that Christ got insane about, smashing up the room, as it were, throwing chairs and tables, was the conversion of his quote-unquote father's house into a den of corruption, where they were taking advantage of people and whatnot. He was furious about this. So I would say that, like, you're right in that it does happen, but it happens in opposition to the fundamental teachings of that thing.
See, I agree with you there, Tom. I can't blame a Christian of today who is a principled individual, you know, as Tom sounds like he's a liberty-minded guy. I can't blame them for what their ancestors did.
I've never said that any Christian living today had blood on their hands.
Oh, okay.
I said that Christianity does.
Christianity itself, you can, if you separate the instances of corruption and violence from the teachings itself, they're clearly opposed. It's not murky. Like, when you start actually studying biblical texts, and all of the church history and all of that stuff, the story really just shows that people are corruptible, man. And that's like the
sure.
overall
that's true of all of the religions, the world religions that, I mean, basically, certainly the major ones that had some sort of great leader at one time or a founder and then fell away from that person's teachings. I mean, it's certainly true in Buddhism, it's true in Islam, and so on. And so let's get back to the original question that you said you were going to answer, which was the question about the Son of God. Arya said earlier that it's her understanding, having been raised in a Christian church in the South, Arya, that Christians seem to be of two mindsets about Jesus. On one hand, they call him the Son of God, but on the other hand, they call him God. So can you clear that up?
Yeah, I'll try to. I'm a bit rusty. It's been a few years since I've been out of seminary. No, I'm just kidding. I haven't been. But there's a fundamental misunderstanding, and I think that comes from a lot of imagery that has been adopted in mainstream media of, like, what God is and what hell is. Like, we get, like, this depiction of hell from Dante's Inferno and all. There's no – that's a complete fabrication of fiction. And, I mean, it's a great book, but it doesn't actually –
the whole idea of hell is a fabrication, but you're probably not going to agree with me on that. So go ahead. What's the point
outside the confines of actual biblical scripture, what is understood as the – Dante's Inferno is not. So it's not actually a proper definition.
Okay, but about the Jesus question. Let's focus on that.
Right. So in a similar way, like, you know, you're watching Monty Python's Holy Grail, right? You get this, like, dude in the sky with a beard and all that stuff. It's fun. But it's actually, I don't know, what would you describe? It's just kind of like a fairy tale version of trying to kind of put an image to something that we can't really explain without hours and hours and hours of discussion. And I know that's a weak answer, but
It was a non-answer.
Yeah, you haven't even answered the question at all. I mean, what do Christians actually believe about? Tell me if I'm asking this question wrong, Arya. Is it, what do Christians like you believe about Jesus? Is he the Son of God, or is he God, or can you be both? You know, what's the answer there?
Yeah, that's exactly how I would ask it.
So Jesus is referred to as Logos, or the Word, in the Bible. So if you can think of, like, your words being, like, proceeding from your mouth being, like, your an essence of yourself, but also, like, your the child of you, as it were. I'm not making much sense on that, but it's kind of like your product.
Well, let me re-explain the question then, right?
Your word is your product as well.
Because, like, so, I'm Aria Demetza, right? And that makes sense. And people say, look, there's Aria. But now, if someone were to say, no, you're Aria and you're Aria's kid, well, there's obviously a bit of a problem here. So I need that explained to me.
That's what I was trying to say, is, like, there's a lot of nuance here. And there's a lot of textual criticism that goes on with this, and understanding how languages work, and translational not problems necessarily, but, like, just using condensing it down to one word. It was never intended to do that. That's why we have sermons to kind of unpack these ideas.
What was never intended to do?
Are you saying that Jesus is not the Son of God?
I am not saying that at all. He is.
Are you saying that Jesus is not God?
Look.
Those are two really simple questions, man.
Well, it could be both, right? Like, from my perspective, Tom. Jesus is both. Okay, Jesus is God, and Jesus is also the Son of God, in the same way that we're all sons and daughters of God. Because, you know, from my perspective as a pantheist, I think we're all connected to, and we're all a part of that God. So, is Jesus both, or is he one or the other?
It's a lot of equivocations of the word son. And, you know, like, you know, some languages have a bunch of definitions of the word love, or different versions of the word love. We condense it down to one word. So it's difficult to say, well, it's like the son being a product, or the son being a child, or, you know, that kind of a thing. Like, it gets difficult.
Dude, you've had minutes to answer this question at this point, and you have not made it any more clear, speaking of equivocation. So you have no clear way to answer this simple question.
It's not a simple question. I tried.
Okay. It's pretty damn simple,
right,
man.
Thank you for the call, Tom. I do appreciate your attempt, at least.
I do appreciate it as
explaining
well.
Explaining your beliefs.
I want to be fair to the Christians. I know this is a, you know, people
a
have
question.
Dedicated their lives to understanding this question. But, like, okay, then explain it to someone.
Both seems like the best answer to me, but that's apparently not right, according to him. There's more coming up here in moments. You can join the show. Hour number two is on the way. This is Free Talk Live.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.